It was very confusing. The church herself was never confused. The church herself was never confused about what she teaches. But unfortunately, many in the church confused her teachings. And I grew up at a time when one of the sisters in my Catholic school said, and I was probably about fourth grade, God will call you from this earth to himself when you're closest to him so as to ensure you go to heaven. Now, as a fourth grader, I couldn't unpack that, but a seed was planted. Translation, sister's words, it doesn't matter, you're going to heaven anyway. Not bad. Not bad at all. Go to funerals. You'll hear that very philosophy. Oh, they're in a better place, and we hope they are. We hope they're in heaven. But we tend to say that like it's just we're just a shoo-in for heaven. We're not. We've got to choose it. We have to choose it. And God gives us the commandments that we do follow them. And if we don't, God doesn't exact a pound of flesh from us because we had too much fun on Friday night, as I've heard it put. Rather, the punishment comes from the sin itself. So, I'll give you this example. The first time, now you all, many of you know, that I had my many years away from the church. And the first time I consumed too much alcohol, I got punished for it. Well, my parents didn't know about it, but the alcohol did. And the next morning, I suffered. The punishment is in the sin. The punishment is in the sin. It's not God having a snip fit. But he gives us these commandments to help guide us so that as we exercise following these commandments, we get better at it. Now, I'm a bit of a musician. I wouldn't call myself a musician as such, but I play guitar and I sing. And when I first learned how to play guitar, I remember the first chord my dad taught me, the D chord. Three fingers. And I remember going, okay, first finger, second string, second fret. Second finger, first string, second fret. And it took me that long to do it, and then I had to push hard on those strings, and it hurt. It hurt. And then, when I finally had my fingers configured right, now it was time to strum, and I went boom. I didn't even get a sound out of it except this muffled junk. But I didn't give up. But what I had to do was I had to follow the rules. I had to put my fingers where they're supposed to be, arch the fingers, and push hard. And the more I did it, the easier it became. And now, I'm far from an excellent guitar player. But now, I can pick up a guitar and put my fingers right there and it doesn't hurt. And I can actually play a D chord and it sounds like a D chord. And I can move from that to a G, to a C, to an A, to an F, a six-string barred F. I can do all of that. And I don't have to think about it. Why? Because I kept exercising the rules until it became second nature. Now take an accomplished concert guitarist or trumpetist or pianist or whatever it is, and now are they following the rules? Of course they are. But the rules don't rule them, they rule the rules. And now that music becomes a part of them. That music is something that comes from them, and they play the instrument. That's what the commandments are all about. Look at the saints. Were they born saints? Not a single one. Well, she was. She was. But every other saint had to exercise the rules of faith. And eventually they got to the point where they didn't have to think about them. They just lived them. And they turned those rules of faith into music. That was music to God's ears. So we have the rules. And the punishment comes from not following the rules. And the punishment of not following the third commandment It's called mortal sin. And God forbid any of us would die in a state of mortal sin, because if that happens, that person goes to hell. God doesn't send a single person to hell. Everybody that would end up in hell sends themselves there. That's the beauty of God's design, is he leaves it up to us. It's our choice. It would be like the NFL and all the players getting to choose to be on the championship team at the beginning of the season. That's how beautiful God's design is. But as it is, we have 70% of Catholics, as of a relatively recent Pew poll, 70% of Catholics who do not believe in the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. They think that that's just bread and it's just wine. It's not. It's him. Just look up Eucharistic miracles and tell me it's just a symbol. Who is the author? Flannery O'Connor. I'm not an avid reader. I've not read her, but I heard Bishop Barron mention this. Flannery O'Connor, who wrote symbolic, amazing novels that just moved the soul. She understood symbolism. And she was at this dinner with all these highfalutin New Yorkers who were up in this societal echelon. And she really felt overwhelmed. And she sat there quietly. And this one lady who was there had left her Catholic faith, was trying to include Flannery O'Connor in the conversation. And so she said, "Well, you know the Eucharist, Flannery," she said, "it's a wonderful symbol." And Flannery O'Connor said, "If it's just a symbol, I say to hell with it." If it is just a symbol, to hell with it. It isn't worth anything. It's him. It's him. And so it is. And where does the Eucharist come? At Mass. And what's happening at Mass? Our salvation is being affected. Because the Mass is the participation in real time Calvary 2,000 years ago. How can I say that? Because God, that's God's work, and God is outside of time and space. The Mass is literally what is happening in heaven, where I hope and pray my mom and dad are. I'm with them there now, and so are you. This is the reality. This is what our faith is all about. And if our salvation is being affected right now, it is imperative that we're present at our own salvation. Sorry, I guess I got off on quite a tangent, but it is. I wish I could take this and put it into everybody's heart, because I left the church for 20 years. Go to a confessional priest. I don't need to go to no stinking priest. I'll go directly to God. Well, I hadn't read John chapter 20. Jesus says to the first priest, "Whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they're held bound." If he didn't intend for us to go to a priest, why did he do that? It makes no sense whatsoever. And I had all of my tree stand is my pew. I can pray there. I can, but I didn't. It's high time that we in the church, us priests, start to speak with charity, first and foremost, charity. And that doesn't mean humdrum and without passion. I am passionate about this. But that we speak with charity and clarity. We have to, because souls are at stake. And God forbid any one of us ends up in eternal hell. It is eternal. And there's no coming back from it. And it is my job. God has tasked me, by virtue of my ordination, is to make sure I convey this message in word and in deed. Now, when I say, I'm going to say something that I'm not saying it to, you know, oh, look at me. I go to confession just about every 2 weeks. I need that sacrament. And so does everybody else. St. John Paul II, saint, went every week. Now here's a living saint. We all saw him live. You have to have at least one sin for it to be a valid confession. He went every week. And that's in large part why we call him saint. Well, if it took a saint every week, what about me? So I'm working on it. My point is this, folks. We celebrate this feast of the Holy Family. The church. It is the church that is the pillar and foundation of truth. You find that in 1 Timothy 3:15. Not the Bible. The Bible is not the pillar and foundation of truth. Is it true? Of course it is. It's the inerrant word of God. But who gave us the Bible? The church. The pillar and foundation of truth. And so we got to listen to her and follow those rules and practice those rules so that we can turn those rules into music, spiritual music. I'll conclude with these comments on the family. The church tells us that the family is the nucleus of society. It's the very cell of society. As the family goes, so goes society. What's happened to the family over the last 50 plus years? It has been attacked and attacked and attacked some more by all different, from outside the church and within the church. And now they're trying to pull the family apart by trying to redefine it. Do you know when family starts? Family starts right here when one man and one woman say, I do. Any other combination of human characters is invalid. There is no marriage. There can't be, because God has not designed it that way. It is one man, one woman. We don't hate anybody else who believes otherwise. We don't hate anybody who might practice otherwise. Far from it. We love them, but we got to love them enough to tell the truth. We have to. And you know what? We might get clobbered for it. Well, what does he say? If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Folks, our entire world is collapsing. I'm not trying to be, you know, negative Nelly here, but that's just real. Our whole society is collapsing because the family is collapsing. So what's the answer? We know what the truth is. To live it. To live it. To live it in love and unapologetically. To live as family, because that's what we are. Let's pray for more marriages in the church. I'll conclude with this. I've been a priest for 13 years. Over the last 3 years, I have had one marriage of my own parishioners. One. That's it. That's all. I know many people who have gone through a ceremony elsewhere. Catholics. No, I'm talking about Catholics. My dad was Lutheran. God holds them to whatever, you know, he was baptized Lutheran, and that's what he was held to. We've been given the Catholic faith, and God gives us the fullness of the faith in this church. I've had one marriage in the last 3 years of my own parishioners. I've done other weddings, but people that I know, friends, family, many other people that I know, Catholics, who went through ceremonies. No family began because there was no marriage. There was a civil bond, yes, but there is no sacramental bond. God cannot bless that. So what happens? Well, if there's no permanent bond, no declaration of permanence before God, then there almost always is no permanence And then the family breaks down and society breaks down. This is just how it works. Again, I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly, but this is the reality of the world that we live in. And we get to be a part of the solution. How? At the end of every Mass, the priest says, go. Go and glorify the Lord by your life. How do you do that? By living the gospel. And when you get that opportunity to actually speak up, see, not to win an argument, but to win a soul, to win a heart. I've said enough. We'll leave the rest to God. But let's pray for family on this Feast of the Holy Family. Pray for the re-strengthening of it, for the following of God's design for family. And let's pray in a special way for those who are preparing for marriage.